Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 4 through 7 is the Bible reading. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 4 through 7. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he had obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And our text is verse 6. We'll read it again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I want to preach on the title of a message, The Way of Faith. The Way of Faith. Pastor Devin, sure, please pray.
Father, we thank you so much for your presence, your word. Now we ask that you would unction our brother fresh from on high. Help him to preach. Help us to receive it. Change lives for eternity, for good. Tonight we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right. You may be seated. In northern England, about 140 miles from London, there's a little village with the unattractive name of Scrooby. If you want to help remembering that, just put the two words together, Scrooge and Scooby-Doo. That gives you Scrooby. It's a very old town with a history going back almost 900 years. And at the beginning of the 1600s, there lived in this village a man named William Brewster. After graduating from college, he became a secretary. Later, he followed his father's footsteps and became the postmaster of the town. And he lived in this town. He lived in a large manor house. And in this house, there was a large hall where there were people that were believers of Jesus Christ would come to this place and they would worship God. They didn't worship God according to the dictates of the state. They did not worship God according to the way that the Church of England wanted them to worship God. But they worshiped God in spirit and in truth. They worshiped God together. They worshiped in a way that was not conforming to the rest of society, that was not conforming to the rest of the ways of the world. And they began to be known as the nonconformists. They began to be known as the separatists, the Protestants, and eventually these were the pilgrims that came to America. They didn't worship like everyone else. They didn't walk in this world like everyone else. Their works weren't like anyone else's. They were walking by the way of faith. And if someone to preach about that, that we don't have to do the things that everyone else is doing, but we can follow after God. We can be what God wants us to be. We can be exactly those ones that say, I'm not conforming to this world, but I'm conforming. I'm being put into the mold. I'm being made like God wants me to be through Jesus Christ. First, the worship of faith. The worship of faith. The Bible tells us that Abel still speaks. Abel still speaks. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We understand the Bible story about Abel, about how Abel had brought the right sacrifice to God, that he brought of the firstlings of the flock, that Cain brought his own sacrifice. He brought it his own way. But the Bible tells us that Abel's sacrifice was a more excellent sacrifice than Cain's. That for thousands of years, Abel has been speaking to us. He's been speaking to us about the right way to come to God, about the correct way to come to him. Martin Luther said it this way, he who when he was alive could not teach his bonehead brother anything, He didn't use the word bonehead, but we could put that in there. Now that he is dead, he teaches the whole world by his faith and by his example. And now he's more alive than he ever was before, because he's still speaking, because he's still having that word come forth unto us, that there is a right way to come unto God, that you need to have the right sacrifice to come to God. When he offered up that firstling of the flock, it represented how Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, would come and he would offer himself as the sacrifice for mankind. That's what God was looking for. That's what God wanted. God wanted to see that the blood of his son was going to be represented. And that's how we need to bring ourselves unto God. When you come unto God, you got to have it right. When you come unto God, you need exactly to be the right way. We can't come with our own works of righteousness. We've got to come by faith in God through Jesus Christ. And so he's still teaching the progressive things. Three progressive things he's still teaching. The true sacrifice, which leads to true righteousness, which leads to a true witness. And so he's still that voice today. He brought that true sacrifice. And because of that, he obtained true righteousness. Righteousness is only by faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith in God. And he's a living voice to all those who want to come unto God. And so he's still preaching today. He's still saying mankind has to come to God, not by works of their own righteousness, but by faith in Christ Jesus. Not by doing things our own way and our own reasoning and the way that we think it ought to be done. We get to a point where sometimes we tell God how it ought to be. But isn't he God? Isn't he the God of heaven that created all things by the word of his power? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says, by faith we understand. We were making phone calls yesterday, and there was a lady that we talked to on the phone, and she said, you know, I came to church because I was looking for answers in uncertain times. You know what? Jesus Christ is the only thing that's certain today. Jesus Christ is the only thing certain. The outcome of all these other things in the election, it's not certain yet. But there's one who is the King of Kings. There's one who is the Lord of Lords. There's one who's up on the throne of heaven. There may be one that may be ruling all other things down here. But there's one who will rule and reign supreme when it's all said and done. Jesus is a certainty. His healing is a certainty. His salvation is a certainty. And the complete deliverance by the power of Jesus Christ, that's what's a certainty today. The walk of faith, Enoch, the walk of faith. First we talked about the worship of faith. Now we talk about the walk of faith. The walk of faith. Enoch walked with God. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated. What does that mean? That he was moved from one place to another. That he was taken from this place, earth, and he was taken to heaven. And so he was translated. He did not even see death. His righteousness, his righteous walk with God, that he did not even see death, that he did not experience death. What a life that he was living, that God said, you know what, I want you so much. I love this fellowship with you so much. You're not going to experience death, but I'm going to take you home. I'm going to take you home to be with me. Isn't that what we want in the end of it all? That I want to go and be with my Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to go be with him who's done so much for me. Bible says he was not found. So you can imagine people were looking all over for Enoch. Where'd he go? Where is he? He went down to the places where they normally go. Enoch's not here. Let's go down here to Home Depot. Enoch's not there. Enoch's not there at the bar. He wouldn't have been down there anyway. Why? Because he was walking with God. Enoch wouldn't have been down there at the XXX place there getting the videos and all, everything's all bound up in black there on the windows. He wouldn't have been down there anyway because he's walking with God. He wouldn't have been at the liquor store because he was walking with God. But they looked all around for Enoch and he was not found. Why? Because God took him. And by his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That he pleased God. 5 steps in Enoch's walk. The first step is that he believed that God is. That we have to believe that God is. That there is a God up in heaven. Society tries to tell us there is no God. It's too late. It's too late for me. You can't tell me that there is no God. I know that there's a God. I know that he was there when I prayed for salvation. I know that the presence of God was there. I know that through the surgeries, I know that through the darkest times of my life, that when I prayed and I called out to God, can I get a witness out there? That when I prayed and I called out to God, he was there. As Charles Spurgeon said, not only did he know that there is a God, but this God is everywhere. This God is there when I pray. I know that when I get down on my knees, he said, lo, I'm with you always. That when I get down on my knees, I pray and I call out to God, and he is there. And not only that, but he knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly what you're going through. When Jesus said, all the hairs of your head are numbered, that means that he knows everything about you. So he's not a God that's a million miles away. He's a God that's as close as the mention of his name. He's a God who's right there. Enoch believed in this God. He followed after this God, and he sought after him. Step two, he sought after God. They say if you get up in the morning and you start doing your exercises, it makes you a better day. It gives you a better day. It gives you more ability to concentrate. It gives you the ability to be able to do things better throughout the day. But what about if we started our day, instead of doing push-ups, that we started our day with praise? That we started our day off praising God. That we started our day off, Lord, thank you for all that you've done for me. Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning. Lord, thank you for being on my side. Lord, thank you for being there in my time of need. If we got up in the morning and we started to praise God, wouldn't that make for a better day in our lives? It would make us more connected to him. It would make us more content with the things he has given us. It would give us less to complain about. And more to think about him. As has been said, if you got up in the morning and you only had the things left that you thank God for the night before, how much would you actually have? How much would you actually have left? What if God just raptured all the things away that you didn't thank him for the night before, thank him for the day before? So one man, his name is Darren Hardy. He has a podcast and whatnot. One thing that he says he does is that during the time of when he first gets up in the morning, there's a snooze. How many hit the snooze sometimes, all right? One time, two times, three times. Okay, I got to get up. But he said that on the Apple iPhone, the snooze is 9 minutes. No one knows why, but it's 9 minutes. And so when he first hits that snooze button, instead of going back to sleep, he starts to count his blessings for 9 minutes. He starts to thank God, and we're in that season of Thanksgiving. He starts to thank God for all of the things that he's done for him, all the things that he has for us, for his wife. And I appreciate my wife. My wife keeps things in line. She keeps me in line. She helps me find things. I say, where is this? Sometimes us guys, we put something somewhere, and say, I can't find this thing. It's right there. Thank you. So I appreciate my wife. I definitely appreciate Pastor and Sister Devonshire. Definitely appreciate them. Hold them up in prayer. Hold them up in prayer. As I said, we are one team. We are on the same team. This stuff on the outside, that does not matter what it is. On the inside, I want the blood of Jesus Christ running through my body, running through my soul. We're all on the same team. We're all trying to reach everybody for God. We want everybody to come. We want that for all nations to be able to come and to reach God and to be able to touch Him through Jesus Christ. So we appreciate being able to be here and be able to work with them. And so that was the second step. He sought after God. The third thing, he walked with God and he preached for God. You know that Enoch was a preacher. Jude verses 14 and 15 said that he preached, that he prophesied. And he talked about how, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Don't you want to come back with him? Don't you want to come back in those days? We're talking about a future time that the Lord Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead on the third day. He ascended up to heaven. He's exalted up there at the right hand of the throne of God. But one day he's going to come back. And one day we'll have that opportunity to come back with him. Thousands of his saints will get to come back. He prophesied about that. He preached about that. Enoch, he was a preacher. He also preached against sin, the ungodly deeds that the ungodly people had done in an ungodly time. He preached against that as well. And so he didn't let anything slip. You imagine what his outlines looked like. You imagine what he had to say, what he had to preach to those people that were there. He's coming out against them. But he wanted, as this man who walked with God, I'm sure he had the best teacher that he could ever have. He had the best Bible school ever, 300 years of Bible school, walking with God. Man. And so after those four steps, after he did all of that, that he had believed that God is, that he sought after God, that he walked with God, that he preached for God, and the last step that he made is that he entered into the presence of God. And the Bible still now, we understand that the Bible said Enoch did walk with God, but he's still walking with God right now. He started off on the race, and he did not quit. No matter when the devil came his way, no matter when disease came his way, no matter when the depression, no matter what it was, he kept on walking with God, and he's still walking with God today. He walked by faith. You don't read about any church following up on him. You don't read about any preachers going by to see him and call him on the phone. Hey, are we going to see you Sunday morning? We don't read about any of that he had any kind of religious literature for himself to read. And we don't even read that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. We don't even read that. But yet, through all of that, he still walked with God. Now, how much more so now do we need the Holy Ghost? How much more so do we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost? We need that baptism of love and of power and of fire. How much more do we need that? If Jesus needed the Holy Ghost, how much more do we need the Holy Ghost? We're living in a way different society than Enoch was living in. We need more of God than we ever needed before today. We need to be in church more than we ever needed to. Online is okay, but boy, I was watching it online from far away. I said, I got to get there too. I want to be in the house of God too. I want to get there because that's where the blessings are. That's where God can speak to you. That's where God can talk to your heart. So when you're watching it online, there's all those distractions there. That text message come in. Hey, who's that? Beep, beep, beep. You might just miss that one part of the message, that answer that you needed, that breakthrough that you needed, that word that you needed from Pastor Devonshire to get that deliverance that you've been looking for, that thing that's been holding you back, the chains that have been on you. They may just get broken free if you come to the house of God. How many times when you put forth that great effort to walk with God, that God blesses you for doing so? There's been times where I remember when I was in the Army, I was in the serviceman's home. I remember I threw my back out. We were playing piggyback. Piggyback. And so me, I think I was about 100, maybe 150 pounds or so. I'm about 150 pounds still right now. But they put a guy on my back. He was 240 pounds. And so it was no, you know, I was 19 back then, and it was no big deal. And so this guy, he got on my back. You know, we ran. And then I dropped him off, and then he picked me up. He just picked me up just like that, like I was a rag doll. He just, all right, we won. So then later on after that, that was PT. Later on after that, we were out there moving furniture, and they had these filing cabinets. They were coming out of the back of this large truck. They're called LMTVs then. They have a different name now. They come out the back of this large truck, and so I grabbed one like this, you know, from this high, and then as I brought it down, I just went straight down to my knees, and my back just went out. So there I was with this pain medication. There I was with this cane. And so there I go down there to the serviceman's home, and they say, hey, it's just going to be at least a week before you can get back to normal. I said, okay. So I went down to the prayer meeting. That's a good place to go. It's a prayer meeting. And when you need something from God, when you need a touch from God. And so there I am with this cane there, and I'm sitting there in the chair there in the serviceman's home there, and we're just praying. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about what the doctor said. And then I'm thinking about one of the messages that pastor would preach. Thinking about how he said, you know what, Jesus is a healer. Thinking about those things where he talked about the man who came that had the leprosy, or the woman who came that had the issue of blood, or the one who was all bent over. You get to thinking about those things. That's why we need the Bible. That's why we need faith in the Word of God. That's why we got to read. That's why you need to get in your Word, because that's how your faith grows. Faith coming by hearing. Hearing what? The Word of God. And so I'm sitting there thinking about that and thinking about how Jesus can heal me. And so I got up and I took that cane and I just threw it off to the side. I put my hands up and God healed me right there. God is a healer. Amen. So God still does it today. He still does it today. And so our faith has got to be in him. It's got to be in him. And Enoch kept on walking with God. He kept on going. He walked as close as he could until he walked himself right into the presence of God, right into heaven. And the last part, the work of faith. The work of faith. We talked about the worship of faith. We talked about the walk of faith. And now the work of faith. The work of faith, Noah, all Noah had was a promise from God. It's all Noah had was the word from God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He moved with fear. What did he do? He got up. He said, okay, God said, I'm going to destroy the world, mankind. I'm going to destroy mankind. It hath repented me that I have made man. He said, it repented me that I have made man. And he told him, it's going to rain, Noah. Noah, the rain is coming. He gave Noah a warning. He said, go out there and build the ark. Go out there and build the ark. And so God's promise was enough for him. It was enough in the word of God. It was enough for God's word. God's word and the promise of God is enough. What God has said, it is true, and it is enough for us to get up and to start moving, to get up and to start going towards Christ, to get up and to move towards him, to get up and say, I've got to get to the cross. I've got to get to the blood. I've got to get washed and clean and made whole. It's enough to get to him. And so he built that ark, and God's promise was enough. And there's people like that, that God blesses people with faith like that. God blesses those that have such a faith like that. So I was on the phone yesterday. One of the sisters said, I am thankful for the prayers of the saints. I'm thankful for the prayers of the saints. She said, I love being around the saints. I love being around the people of God. She quoted from the book of Acts. Acts, I believe, is Acts chapter 20, verse 32, that it talked about our inheritance among the saints. We've got an inheritance from God. We've got all of these great blessings that God has given us. He's given us spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, but we don't have it all to ourselves. There's a multitude of people that need to come and get it. There's a multitude of people out there that need to know the saints, those that are sanctified. And she said, and this really motivated me. This really let me know I am in the right place serving God. She said, my faith is in Jesus Christ, and I know he's got me. My faith is in Jesus Christ, and I know that he's got me. And so the promises of God were enough for her. The promises of God are enough for you, and they're enough for everybody that calls out on his name. Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom. If you don't know who Corrie Ten Boom is, you ought to go out and read her book, The Hiding Place. The Hiding Place. She was a survivor of the Holocaust. She survived the concentration camp. She survived that. I think it was Ravensbrück. She survived that. And you get to read about her story about how her father was a watchmaker. And then when the Nazis came in, they began to take over. They began to gather up the Jews. And in their house that they were hiding some Jews there. And they didn't find the Jews, but they came to get her family. They took her family away, and they took some of them to the gas chambers. Just an awful thing. Just an awful thing. Just that there would be such hatred for other people, that there would be such a motivation from the spiritual wickedness that would be within mankind. Well, that's why we got to get out there and tell people about Jesus. Because mankind is susceptible to all of these things. We, if it wasn't for the grace of God, it would be us as well. But through Jesus Christ, we can overcome all of those things. But in that time there, and she was writing this book, she ended up out there at that concentration camp. But the book is about her family's efforts and how she found God in a concentration camp. And how she was able to share her faith and how she was able to gain hope in a concentration camp. And so I'm going to be closing soon, but I want to leave you with this quote that she said. She said, I've experienced his presence. She's talking about the presence of God. She said, I've experienced his presence in the deepest, darkest hell that man can create. She said, I have tested the promises of the Bible. And believe me, you can count on his promises. Believe me, you can count on his promises. I've tested the promises of the Bible myself. Have you tested the promises of God? Have you tested them? You can test the promises of God. Salvation still works today. The blood of Jesus Christ still works. Healing and deliverance is still possible, and you can still be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so God is able to meet your needs through Christ Jesus. Let's stand and let's lift up our hands and let's go before him. The walk of faith, the worship of faith, and the faith of works in Christ. As Pastor Deborah Shire comes.